Father, as we reflect on your word this morning, as we reflect on your teaching, as we think about the fruit of the Spirit of kindness, Lord, we ask that you would melt our hearts of stone, that you would give us that spirit of kindness in our lives, that we may be kind to one another, and that we may recognize you, your kindness, at work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I must say I found this topic quite difficult, because everybody knows about kindness and everybody thinks everybody should be kind, and isn't it lovely that we're all so kind to each other? Most of us anyway. Not mentioning anybody, Megan. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have been crucified with the flesh and its passions and its desires. Kindness. Mother Teresa. Let's start with her. She's always a good place to start, isn't she? Mother Teresa's favourite text in the Bible, which she often quoted to support her ministry, is the passage from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 25, verse 40. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Whatever you did for the least of the brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Surely that is the epitome of kindness, isn't it? Mother Teresa caring for the lepers and the broken and the homeless and the destitute on the streets of Calcutta. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, what accompanies true kindness? It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you. Okay, that's kind of fairly easy, isn't it? Not. I think if we are to live up to these examples of kindness which Scripture offers us, it's impossible. We cannot be Mother Teresa. Not all of us. Not all of us are called to be, you know, as kind and as generous as she is. I mean, it would be lovely. Wouldn't it be amazing if we were all as kind of holy and kind as Mother Teresa is? I'm sure some of us are, but I'm not. You know, I'm just glad that in God all things are possible, but I'm not there yet. In 2003, there was a study of 37 cultures around the world, and 16,000 people were asked, what is the most desired trait in your partner, in your mate, in the person that you do live to, want to live with? You know, what is the thing that you want most? And the answer, given the fact that what we're talking about this morning, is kindness. Isn't that? I find that it's kind of like, that's quite enlightening for me. Actually, what people are looking for more than anything else in a relationship is someone who is kind. Would you say that's true? Would that be true for you? Would that be a good thing? Yeah? Yeah, would you say kindness is something that you would really want in your partner? Yeah? Actually, I know that women would say that, and most of you out there, forgive me, are women. There are some men here. But is it also true of men who would say that actually what they want in their partner is kindness? Yeah? Yeah? Men out there, do you say, would you say you're looking for kindness in your partner? You found it. Oh. Yeah, because kindness is often seen as a female trait, isn't it? Kindness is seen as something that women have that men aren't quite as good at. Because women are, you know, maternal and caring and nice, and kindness is a is a female thing, isn't it? Is it maybe?
Can be.
But I think we go around with these models of things in our heads that we think some things are maybe more masculine, like being, you know, strong and opening doors and, you know, opening jars, yeah? Okay, and you know, phoning up the, you know, the people who you've got problems with.
No, I do that.
Yeah, I know you do, Megan, but, you know, I'm not saying anything about you particularly. I think we all want to be treated kindly, though, don't we? We all would love to be treated kindly. But often, even if we want to be treated kindly, we have a hard time sometimes being kind to other people. There was also another one of these studies done of, this time, of people in school who were known to be bullies. Okay, many thousands of people were interviewed across America, this was, who had been identified in some way or other as being a bully. And they were asked the question, why did they bully other children? An interesting question. And the conclusion is because they enjoyed doing it. Well, yeah, there may be, because, you know, some of them wouldn't, you know, they don't think that deeply, do they? You know, I mean, you're not going to, you know, not many bullies are psychoanalysts and are actually really in touch with their inner selves, okay? You know, you're looking at a surface response here, not a deep psycho whatever. It's because they enjoy doing it. People actually enjoy, wait for this, being nasty to other people. A lot of our humour in our society is based on other people's misfortune. Think about it. Actually, a lot of things we laugh at are people who fall over and hurt themselves, who fall off things, who trip over stuff, who we tell jokes about people that we put down. And our humour, the things that we laugh at, are actually often about other people's misfortune. Yeah? Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah? That's not particularly kind, is it? And we enjoy it. We laugh. We love our comedians. Comedians are very integral to our society at the moment, aren't they? The fools of yesteryear are the, you know, stand-up comedians of this year. And we love the fact that they take the mickey out of other parts of society and put other people down. And I'm a big fan of comedy, and you know me, I tell jokes as, you know, much as the next person, probably more than most. But human nature, raw human nature, is sometimes a bit ugly. And I think that kindness needs to be learnt. It's not what happens at the beginning of your Christian journey. It is a fruit. It's what comes after you are growing into Christ. Yeah? Fruit is something that happens after a tree has been there for a while. It's not the first thing that happens when you plant a tree. Oh, great, I planted a tree. I'm going to have a fruit in a couple of weeks. It doesn't work like that, does it? You have to nurture it. It has to grow. It has to become more. And eventually, maybe after even a couple of years, you begin to see some fruit. And if you want to continue to producing fruit, you have to continue nurturing the tree, of actually pruning and shaping and making sure that all the nutrients and things that are needed are there for the fruit to be produced. Is that not right?
Yeah?
Okay. And so the fruit of the Spirit is exactly the same. Kindness is something that comes actually when we work at it, not something that just happens automatically. The other thing is that in our society, we are bombarded with images and ways of behaviour that actually work against the fruit of the Spirit. And in particular, kindness. Guys, do we like watching action movies? Yes? Yeah? Okay? We do. We like watching action movies. We like watching where guys beat each other up. I'm going to say this advisedly. We watch lots of movies where people enjoy killing each other. Yeah? Whether it's war movies or Kung Fu or James Bond or, you know, Bourne whatevers. Yeah, we enjoy it where people are actually not very kind to each other. Yeah? Is that, that? And our society throws stuff like that at us. Netflix, Amazon Prime, whatever you know system you're using, just keeps on. If you look at your list of movies, fairly high up the agenda will be your action adventure movie list, which is full of people being unkind to each other. Yeah? And our society often sees kindness as being a weakness. It's not something for the go-getting, upwardly mobile, thrusting, assertive, I'm in charge, bossy. I'm not talking to you, Megan. If we make those sort of things our goal, that will be the fruit that we bear. If we want God, who has the ultimate control of the universe, to be kind to us, then we need to learn how to be kind to others. It's just kind of, it's the natural, it's the golden rule, isn't it? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. Yeah, but have you seen this bloke? I mean, he's just nasty. Yeah, you kind of like, I really don't want to have to talk to him because he just makes me feel, ugh. God's probably doing something in his life and he'll bring him round. Isn't that what kind of the book of Job is about? Paul writes in Timothy that people are starved of the milk of human kindness. Okay, we've looked at the problem. We've looked at kind of the general view of kindness versus the world's view of what's what. But what actually is kindness? I want us to think for a moment about kindness, and I'm going to go back. It's something I don't particularly like doing in... Just get on with it, Philip. I want to look at the word kindness in its original Greek and Hebrew. Yeah? Okay, well... So, because, of, you know, bearing in mind, we're all speaking English, but the Bible was written in Aramaic, it was written, or, you know, the Hebrew, the Greek New Testament was the first New Testament to have it all in. So I want us to actually look at what the words meant in the Greek and the Hebrew that have then ultimately been translated into the word kindness. Because it's often seen as loving kindness. Yeah, and the word actually in the Greek isn't used very much, but it's actually used a lot more in the Aramaic. I think kindness starts with caring. Yeah, it's actually being aware, thinking about other people. It starts with sensitivity. Kindness generally isn't brash. It isn't in your face. Yeah, it isn't assertive. It's gentle. Kindness kind of seems to be linked in a lot of ways with grace, with love. Proverbs 12 says, the righteous care for the needs of their animals, and the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. you have to get your head around that one quite a bit. But it's basically, are you kind to animals?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're helpless. They can't actually look after themselves. And actually, kindness can often be epitomised in the way that we care for the weakest in our culture. Yeah? In our care, particularly for animals. There are two words. The word in Greek is, well, I'm not sure I can pronounce it, charestos. It's a C-H-E-R-E-S-T-O-S, charestos. Okay, and the word in Hebrew is, what? Hesed. Thank you, hesed. I'd have got there. Hesed, but they both mean slightly different things. Part of the word, the root of the word charestos, is useful. Are you being useful to other people? Yeah? Are you being of any use to them, or are you useless? Yeah? I think, you know, things like the helping hands is a perfect example of kindness. Because you are caring for people who are struggling in some way, and you are being really useful. Yeah? Okay? Biblical kindness involves action. You can't be kind to someone from a distance. Yeah? You have to actually put what... the love into action is actually kindness. Love in action. Yeah. And sometimes we need to do it very quickly. Kindness actually means responding fairly quickly. In 1 John it says, "Dear children, let us stop saying we love each other." Let us stop just saying that we love each other, but let us really show it by our actions. Yeah? That's a New Living Translation. Action, kind action, often involves self-sacrifice. It's very easy to be kind to the people who we see as deserving it. It's easy to be kind to people who are kind to us. It's easy to be kind to people who are not going to hurt us back. It is much harder to be kind to people we don't like. And it means giving up something of ourselves if we are going to be kind to those who are not going to return the favour. The actions that we could take might include words, encouraging words, words of comfort, words of courtesy, compliments. It might include smiling. I practiced it the other day. I was walking through town. Yeah? And I tried to make eye contact with people that I was walking past and smile at them.
Did you already put your collar on?
What? No, I didn't have my collar on.
Did you put your collar on?
No? I must admit, it was a very interesting exercise. Yeah? Why would you get arrested for smiling at someone? Yeah? Actually, you would be surprised at how many people smiled back at me. No, they did. Actually, they did. Yeah, when probably over half the people that I actually managed to make eye contact with, actually, you know, I smiled, grinned, whatever you want to call it, grimaced, you know. I tried to look cheerful. And people walk around with their heads down, and occasionally, if they look, they see a pillar coming up, and they look up, and that's that moment, and you can catch their eyes. and you smile at them, and probably over half of them smiled back. Just a little action that produced something in the person that you were engaging with. You may not have known who they were at all. Being kind to people helps people to heal. Yeah? People who are struggling with emotional wounds. And rather than rubbing salt into the wound, which may have some medical benefit if you know what you're doing, but I doubt it somehow. The only thing salt's good, useful for wound-wise is ulcers, as far as I'm concerned, and that is really painful. But actually, the balm of human kindness, even the word balm implies healing. You are looking to comfort and to strengthen through kindness. The Hebrew word hesed, is very difficult to translate. There is no direct translation between the word hesed and English. It is often translated as kindness, sometimes loving kindness. Forbearance, holding back. It's a complicated word. In the New Testament, it is translated as kindness, but it's also sometimes translated as mercy. It's translated as love, as grace, even loyalty. God's loving kindness to us is a kindness that means he doesn't give up on us. Yeah. He is kind to us for the duration. He commits himself to us because his loving kindness. Devotion is a good word that kind of gives something of the flavor of chesed. Devotion. Some modern critics suggest that it might mean loyalty. That there is something of loyalty in there. You can see that it's not just an easy word. It doesn't just directly translate. There is whole loads of connotations of the word chesed. Chesed implies a relationship. Walking down the street smiling at someone, you ain't got a relationship. But actually, meeting with someone and trying to help them to become more than they are only would work if you have a relationship of some sort with them. There are lots of examples of chesed in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, for that matter. Committed love in action. Let me just have a think about some of these examples. King David towards Mephibosheth. Here we are, you need to look that one up. Okay, if you're making notes, that's 2 Samuel chapter 9. The Shunammite woman towards Elisha. Here, that's another difficult one. Anybody tell me what the Shunammite woman did for Elisha? What? Took him in and fed him. Yeah, and her supply of oil and grain multiplied while he was living with them so that they would have enough to feed the extra mouth even though they were very poor. But she took this refugee into her home. Dorcas, we hear in Acts chapter 9 that she was full of good works and charitable deeds. Jesus telling the story of the Good Samaritan. Mm-hmm. His example of the Samaritan, who, without going into all the stuff about why Samaritans were very nice people in Jewish culture, but his example of the Samaritan is one who demonstrated kindness to the broken. Yeah. An example which is slightly more difficult to get your head around, I think, is Jesus, the story that is told in the New Testament about Jesus going to the house of Jairus. Let me tell you the story in my own words. So Jesus is teaching by the beach, and the servant of Jairus comes to him and says, "Could you come to see my master, for his daughter is dying?" And Jesus immediately leaves what he's doing and goes with his crowd to make his way to Jairus' house. But on the way, the crowd that was following him, there was a woman who touches his cloak. She has faith to believe that just even touching the cloak of Jesus' outer garment would be enough to heal her. And she is healed, and Jesus feels power going out of her. He stops, and he talks about the power that's gone out of him, etc., and the woman confesses. And then he continues on his journey towards Jairus' house. But the very act of stopping in the midst of an important journey to someone whose daughter is dying, to talk to an outcast woman, yeah? That to me demonstrates, probably more than anything else, the spirit of kindness. That actually giving up something or stopping something that is obviously important, going to visit a dying relative, or person, in this case, not a relative of Jesus's, but stopping doing that in order to minister to someone who is an outcast. Yeah? That's not just love, that's love in action demonstrated through kindness. That is chesed. Jesus practiced kindness that was radical for his time and for his culture. He had concern for women as well as men, for children as well as adults, for other races and religions, and not just the Jews, for the sick, for the weak, as well as the strong, wearing himself out in praying for the people, feeding them, helping them, ministering to them, sacrificing himself for them. Jesus, looking at the multitude with their problems of sickness, of confusion, was moved with compassion. As we look around us, are we moved with the same kindness that drove Jesus? Is our attitude one of helping, of giving, of sharing, of caring, of encouraging, of extending mercy, of being filled with compassion and acting even when it is against our own best interests, in word and in kind deed? May the fruit of kindness continue to blossom and to grow within us. And may we strive to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, who personified God's kindness to us. Amen.